马太福音第六章第九节，我们一起在研究主耶稣给我们教导关于祷告的真理。We are studying together Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, the Lord's teaching what is normally called the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's teaching concerning prayer. And the last occasion we studied together about our Father and what it means that God is called Father. 上次我们研究就是父神，我们怎么样可以因什么原因能够称他为父，他为什么是我们的父，父的意思是什么。今天我们一起研究另外一部分，这同一句的另外一部分，就是在天上的父。何为天上？什么叫做天上？天在什么地方？天的意思是什么？我们对天的观念是什么？这种问题是今天我们在主的恩典下一起要研究的。 Today we study then together the Lord's teaching concerning heaven. What is heaven? Where is heaven? How are we to think about heaven? What is the whole meaning of heaven in the New Testament? Now this is a teaching, an aspect of the Lord's teaching which is very important.There is no passage here we need to read since we know the Lord's Prayer very well. Our Father, which art in heaven? Or in more modern English, who is in heaven? 我们在天上的父。Now we want to need, and we need to ask this question. Where is heaven? Where do you think heaven is? How do you think about heaven?When you read, or when you sing the Christian hymns, it says vague things about beyond the blue. The blue being the sky being blue in most parts of the world except England. There's normally blues. England is normally gray. Beyond the blue. So you stretch you strain your eyes in the direction of the blue and hope that somehow if you could get binoculars,You might somehow look beyond the blue. And you think how happy are those people doing astronomy with those great powerful things. If you can look beyond, but where is beyond the blue? And, and there are even songs which says way beyond the blue. It gets further and further away all the time. By the time that you finished, you wondered how you're ever going to get to heaven. And how, if God is so far away, he can ever hear your prayers.Because way beyond the blue must be a long way off. Now all this is extremely vague. And the danger of this kind of talk about heaven is that heaven somehow begins to get very far away for us. And since God is in heaven, way beyond the blue, well, God is an awful long way off. And if he's that far off, we perhaps don't need to concern ourselves too much with him.Assuming that he is very concerned with us, since he is so far away, presumably looking down at this world with powerful binoculars. Now, this kind of concept of heaven, you can see, brings with it all kinds of dangers. And we have to ask, is this the kind of teaching that comes from the Bible? Is this biblical teaching? And so we search the Word of God. And I have searched through the Word of God, and I have found always something very remarkable about the Word of God, and it is this.That human ideas, wherever it comes from, presumably from their own imagination, has a way of always diverging away from the Word of God. It has very little to do with the teaching of the Word of God. Now, the Jews had a concept very similar to this. I was looking up the Jewish teaching on this matter just yesterday.And I was not a little amused to find here a section where one of the rabbis was saying this. How he ever figured it out, I have no idea. And too bad he's not around that we can ask him. He says this, from the earth to the firmament above is a journey of 500 years. The thickness of the firmament, 500 years journey. And then there are seven heavens on top of that,Each of 500 years journey. Wow. By the time you get to the top of the topmost heaven, by my reckoning, it'll take you 4,500 years. Now, by what means of travel is intended of these 500 years, I have no way of figuring out. Does he mean walking for 500 years, or riding a horse, or sailing a ship, or whatever it is, I have no clue. But the rabbis gave this kind of a notion, so that heaven is a long way off, and according to them, there are seven heavens. Where they got that from, I also don't know. Seven heavens, each 500 years between each layer of heaven. You can sort of like a layer cake, sort of an angel cake or some kind of cake. Now, this kind of notion is bound to carry with it all sorts of serious dangers. Above all, the concept that God is exceedingly remote. 我们往往唱诗的时候讲到天好像是个很遥远的地方。 那么英文是常往往唱到天好像在这个蓝色的天之外，天呢就是这个天再上去的另外一个天就成为天堂了，好像如果在这个天上你能够更远一步，这个飞出去或者是怎么样跑到那边去呢，更远的呢离开这个我们所能够看的天之外，那里就是天堂。 那这种思想是什么地方来的呢？绝对不是圣经里面来的，是人自己的幻想出来的。圣经里面的教训，我觉得非常奇妙，我往往觉得非常惊奇，因为圣经的教训跟我们人的思想总是不同的。人的思想、人的幻想总是不知道走到哪儿去了，但是圣经里面有没有这样的教训呢？我找来找去找不到，不知道他们什么地方发明来的。 我就看到这犹太教里面，所以昨天我查他们里面的教训是怎么样，发现那些个拉比的教训，就是敬主耶稣那个时代的教训，说到天呢，到天的这个我们所看见的天上这一部分，到天顶那里，如果要旅行的话，需要500年的时间可以旅行得到。 而到了天顶呢，就开始另外一层，这另外一层天呢，再需要500年旅行的才可以旅行完。那这上面再有七层天，那么每一层天呢，旅行的时间需要500年。这样我算下来要4500年呢，才可以到第七层天的天，到第七层天那边去。那这种教训呢，从跟圣经的教训来比呢？ 实在差了太远，而这种教训的危险是什么呢？就是使得我们在思想里面感觉到上帝离开我们非常非常的遥远。那么圣经里面是不是有这样的教训呢？那是没有的。And when we think of this kind of erroneous teaching concerning heaven, if heaven is somewhere there beyond the blue, wherever that is, then Jesus is also way, way off from us. He is very far from us because he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if the Father is in heaven, and if heaven is a long, long way off, and God is out there, and Jesus is out there, well, Jesus is a long way off. It's little wonder that when you try to pray, you begin to feel a sort of, you wonder whether he can hear. I mean, your prayer down here, and he is so far up, unless he has super electronic equipment by which he can listen to your feeble mutterings, however is this 4,500 year distance going to be covered? And so because Jesus is so far away and God is so far away, prayer becomes almost pointless. It's like sending up a prayer by a rocket, and you hope that the rocket will be powerful to cover that vast distance up to this seventh heaven, according to the Jews anyway. The Bible nowhere mentions seventh heaven. So anyway, never mind which heaven, even the first heaven seems so far away, that if you could send up your prayer with a powerful rocket, but since you don't have very powerful rockets, spiritually speaking, then you wonder if your prayers ever get there. And so you are overcome in the matter of prayer with a sense of futility. Let's wonder whether God ever listens to our prayers. 所以因为我们这样思想，觉得上帝非常遥远，往往就影响到我们的祷告，就觉得不知道上帝能不能够听到我们的祷告，不知道耶稣能不能够听到我们的祷告，因为他在父的右边嘛， 那么上帝那么远，那么主耶稣一定就非常非常之远。那这样不知道他能不能够听到我们的祷告，我们就觉得在祷告里面，比如说觉得不知道有什么意思来祷告，也不知道上帝能不能够听我们的祷告。Now, this also raises for us serious biblical problems. If heaven, according to human reasonings and thinkings, is like this, what do you do with those scriptures? For example, in Acts chapter 7, it says there that Stephen looked up into heaven and he saw the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow, Stephen must have super eyes. Wow, just think of this. His eyes can look through a million miles. Now look, if you were standing 20 miles away, I doubt that even with my very good glasses, I could be able to see you 20 miles off. I'm not sure I could even see you 10 miles away. And Jesus is 4,500 traveling years away. What kind of eyes do you need to be able to see Jesus up there? Or is it that somehow by some miracle Jesus is magnified millions and billions of times so that Stephen could be able to see him? Look, the sun, we are told, is I don't know, a million times bigger than the earth or whatever it is. And it's so vast a sun in the sky, looks only the size of a football. And that is not yet beyond the blue. It is within this firmament. It is within this planetary system. It is not even as far as the Milky Way by any means. Milky Way is millions of miles further off. And if the sun is that small, my, how are you going to see Jesus beyond the sun, beyond the stars? Or as I say, is it then Jesus is being magnified for us? The great problem with this kind of thinking is that it brings in all sorts of difficulties and confusions when you study the Word of God. 那么如果主耶稣是那么远的话，那么当斯蒂凡将要死的时候，他往天上一看，他看到天门打开，看到主耶稣站在父的右边，那你说是不是斯蒂凡的眼睛那么厉害，他可以看到主耶稣，主耶稣就是带着我们人的形象这样站在父的右边，千千万万的英里之远，他能够看得清清楚楚，可以说这个是主耶稣，我可以认识他。如果你站在十里之外，我就戴了我这一副眼睛，我想恐怕我不能认得你，就算能够看到你的话已经很有问题，能够认得你是更不用谈了。那么主耶稣能够那么遥远的地方，使地方能够看得到他是耶稣吗？他不但是太阳比地球大了 几万倍，太阳在天上虽然比地球大那么多，也不过像一个皮球，像个皮球那么大在天上。那么你想一个人在那个地方看都看不见，一粒沙也更没有一粒沙那么大。所以呢，我们怎么想法呢？是不是上帝用个什么神迹把主耶稣好像放大了，怎么样，他的人形放大几千万倍，好让斯蒂凡能够看见，不然什么叫做天打开呢？如果并没有天打开，或者主耶稣又一次第二次已经降临到我们这附近来，这个不算是第二次来啊，不过是特为给斯蒂凡能够看见。而这种问题呢，想来想去越想越糊涂，因为我们对圣经的了解就错误在这里。那还有一点，我们看到这些个俄国人，上次有个俄国这个叫什么在太空飞去的那个俄国人，苏联人，他回来说我上了天了，我没有看到上帝。你怎么答他？你说上帝在天上，他说我到了天上去，我没有看见上帝。你说糊涂啊，上帝又不是人，也不是物质的，能哪儿看到？那么你说这个天是物质的不是物质的？如果你到了天上你还看不见上帝，你怎么样看到他呢？你当然这个苏联的太空家讲话讲错了，但是他讲错一部分是因为基督徒所讲的话 里面已经是错了，使得非基督徒的印象也是错误的。那非基督徒说，你说上帝在天上，那么我一想好了， 我到天上去我看不见他，那你当然可以再讲一句了，你说你走了不够远呐、啊，你走了不够到月亮那么一点路，上帝在这个天以外啊，还有再出去，哇，这样当然他跟你比不上了，你再说了远一点，他再跑远，你再说远一点，他怎么也追不上。So the Soviet astronaut once went out there and said, well, I went up to heaven and I didn't see God. You say, what a stupid question. Well, God is not a person up there for you to see. But his point is this. You said that God is in heaven. I went up there into heaven and I didn't see him. Now you say this is ridiculous. Well, not so ridiculous, because sometimes it is the Christians who gave the non-Christian the wrong impression. You said he is up in heaven, so they went up there to have a look, and they couldn't see him. Now you may say, well, my dear friend, you didn't go far enough. You travel a few more billion miles out there, and you will see God. Well, in this case, he can never win, because if he travels a billion miles, you say, no, you haven't got to the seventh heaven yet, you got to go further yet. At this rate, he can never win that race against you. But I'm not sure that he'll be very impressed with what you have to say about God. Now all this, what is that, how does this measure up with the teaching of the Bible? And there is still a further problem. If you say heaven is up there, up where? If you say, well, up here, the person in Australia is pointing the opposite direction. Oh, that's fair enough, isn't it? I mean, if you say it's up to heaven is this way, the Australian who stands on the other side of the earth is pointing the opposite direction. So you make up your mind which way heaven is. I mean, this is perfectly fair. And it is in such matters that Christians are often ridiculed by the non-Christian. Heaven is up there, eh? Where? You find yourself pointing in two opposite directions, so you decide where heaven is. Have you got one particular direction? Because everybody points upward. And where then is heaven? Are you going to say that heaven is some kind of a space outside the universe or surrounding the universe? Or what kind of a theory are you going to produce now to handle this problem? So you can see that we must really come to an accurate biblical understanding of heaven. Because of its spiritual dangers, because of the dangers of the wrong impressions that it gives to the non-Christian. 所以如果你说天是在天上 who art in heaven, the Chinese has the 上, you see, up there. At least the English hasn't got the 上, the up. So if it's up there, up where? 所以你们说在天上 你指哪一个方向呢？你说在那上面，那么澳洲的那些个人呢，他指的方向跟你完全相反，因为他在地球的另外一面嘛。那在天是为他是在 他地底下呢，还是在天上？他应该指哪一个方向？如果你说天是这个方向，那他是指什么地方？他往上面指，就是跟你指的方向正正相反。那到底天在什么地方？所以你可见呢，这样的说法使得人呢，这非基督徒讲的听你讲的道呢，莫名其妙，糊里糊涂。他说这帮基督徒讲话真是。根本是没有道理的，哪里为天是这边呢？他说天是那边，天是什么地方都是，又说这个是在太空上面去，那这样我来往往哪一个方向走才对呢？那圣经的教训是怎么样？我们一方面的错误就是方向要搞错了，地方要搞错了，上帝远近这个问题也都搞错了。圣经的教训是怎么样呢？When we look at the scriptural teaching, what do we find? Is God then in a kind of heaven that is out there that can be located in a certain place? Is heaven a place that we can put on a map of the universe? What is your answer to these questions, I wonder?Where is the error? Where is the error of human thinking? The error of human thinking is like so much of human error, of which the Bible, in its perfection as the Word of God, never falls into that pit. Is to think of heaven as a semi-material place, a place that you can pinpoint on a map. Now, if a place is material, you can locate it on a map. But the error of Christian thinking is to think of heaven as material, or at least semi-material, or sub-material, or some type of diluted material, if you like. Now, if you think like this, then you see the error of your thinking, that after all, your thinking is still far from being spiritual. Heaven, in the scriptural teaching, is not a place. It is not a material position that you can locate on a map of the universe. If you say it is not a place, what is it then? The biblical teaching is that heaven is a state of being, not a place, a state of being. It is a way of, a type of existence, a spiritual type of existence. It is not some place to be located on a map, but it is a completely different and spiritual way of existence. And so all this business of traveling a long distance, so if you die, you go to heaven, presumably you have a great, some kind of a rocket ship that's going to take you year after year through endless light years until you arrive in heaven. That's not the scriptural teaching at all. We don't have a great long journey to travel to heaven. No, heaven in the biblical teaching is a totally different spiritual type of existence. That you must clearly understand. Never again, when you come to biblical thinking, think of heaven as some kind of a material existence, or sub-material existence, or diluted material existence. 圣经对于我们对天的教训是什么？并不是天是什么一个地方，好远遥远的地方，我们可以像这犹太人一样来测量它的距离是多远，有几百这年的旅行的那旅程。圣经里面这样的思想就显出一般基督徒跟犹太人的思想的错误。天不是一个地方，天是一种属灵的生命，天是一种属灵的一种存在，并不是一个地方。我们进入天不是进到一个什么地方，而是进入一种新的生命，这叫做进到天里面去。这样我们看到，当主耶稣说我们在天上的父，并不是上帝在遥远的地方，乃是说上帝是灵，他的生活就是在这个完全属灵的情形之下而活的。这样我们了解圣经的教训，就不会犯这种错误。 So when we know the biblical teaching, we don't make this kind of mistake such as the Jews made and such as Christians make too, of trying to measure the distance to heaven or speculating on what direction it is or how far away it is. All this is nonsensical. The scripture has nothing to say about the distances of heaven and which direction it goes. What the scripture has to say is that heaven is a spiritual type of existence. Now you say, well, I read in the Bible that Jesus ascended upward, and that would seem to locate heaven somewhere upward, isn't it? It says something about heaven being above. Now, in the scripture, you have to distinguish between two things. Whether it is speaking of the literal physical heavens, or whether it is speaking of that spiritual heaven. But when the Bible speaks of above, when you study the scripture carefully, you will realize at once that the above the scripture speaks about is spiritually above, not physically above. This you must distinguish very carefully. An example of this comes out very, very clearly in the Lord's teaching. Jesus is from above. What does that mean? That is from that spiritual life, that spiritual way of life, which is far above the physical way of life. And he says this so clearly in John chapter 3, verse 31, to show you that he is not speaking in terms of a physical aboveness, but a spiritual aboveness. Let me read this verse to you. He who comes from above is above all. Notice this. He is above all. Well, he's not above all physically. He is now down on the earth when he has come up. He come down upon the earth. But Jesus is speaking spiritually, of course. He who is from above is above all. Spiritually above all. Of course, in no other way can he speaking about this. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth, and of the earth he speaks. He who comes from heaven is above all. I hope that you notice clearly this. That the whole point of speaking of heaven in being above is meant to teach us the spiritual fact of the spiritual superiority of heaven over earth. Because above always indicates superiority. And here the Lord Jesus uses exactly this to indicate the meaning of above. Now, all this is again brought out very clearly by Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in this passage, Paul is speaking about... I just read this for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, where he is speaking about the life to come, about what you would call heaven. And here is what Paul says. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Notice again, raised, going above, up. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual which is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man from of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. That is, we who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Now, to avoid going through a lengthy exposition, let me just show you how Paul is contrasting heaven on earth. And if you had two columns, if you drew two columns out, you could use this passage to fill in two different columns. One column headed heaven, the other headed earth. And then you will find you can list a lot of things. One is in dishonor, the other in honor. One in weakness, the other in power. You would put power, honor, glory all under heaven. Weakness, dishonor, corruption, perishable all under earth. And then you find that on the one side he uses the word spiritual in reference to heaven, physical in reference to earth. Then the man of heaven and the man of dust, again contrasted, and perishable and imperishable contrasted. So that if you took verse by verse, you could list them out on two sides, giving you the full definition of heaven on one side and the full definition of earth on the other side. Now, when you study the Bible in this way, you will see it is not a jumble of difficult to understand phrases, but a very clearly discernible meaning emerges from it all. 从这一段圣经里面，我们就看到，就是哥林多前书第15章第42节到50节里面，保罗就给我们的教训，让我们知道天与地之别，好让我们看到这两个不同。 那些个特征是什么？那么我们如果研究这段圣经，可以拿一张纸，这一边写天，那边写地，这两边呢，就可以一节一节分析下来，就可以把这一边软弱，就是地的那边软弱，天的那边有能力，这边是没有荣耀，那边有荣耀，这边是灭亡，那边是永生，这样两排放下来，你就看到这整段的圣经的意思非常清楚。 天的意思是什么，在圣经里面的教训是什么。天是属灵的，在这段里面跟我们讲到，这边属灵，那边就是地，那边就不属灵。所以我们看到圣经里面让我们知道，天是属灵的，不是物质的东西。那么如果是属灵的，你能不能够来测量它的远近吗？可见我们的思想错误，就是没有把天看清楚是属灵的一件事情。一个属灵的事情，一个属灵的地方，如果可以讲，怎么可以讲到地方？如果属灵的，你怎么样可以量它的远近呢？那如果能够测量它的远近，已经表示你在想天是一个物质的东西。天不是物质的，弟兄姐妹，天是属灵的。属灵的东西不能用一个测来量它，不是这样的想法。属灵的东西不能说是这边在那边，东或者西。物质的东西可以这样想，属灵的东西就不能这样想。So we must once and for all understand the scriptural teaching that heaven is spiritual. And what is spiritual cannot be measured in terms of distance. It cannot be pointed out in terms of direction. Now, if a thing is spiritual, how can you measure whether it's 21 inches long or 500 years journey? The moment you say that, you immediately show that you are thinking of heaven in terms of material. Spiritual things cannot be measured in this kind of way. Remember too that everything that is material is going to be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 12 and 13 tell us this: the heavens shall melt with fervent heat and be dissolved. The heavens will be dissolved. That's biblical teaching. You say, hey, what am I going to do when I get to heaven? But the Bible is not talking about heaven. It is talking about the physical heavens in 2 Peter chapter 12 and 13, chapter 3 verses 12 and 13. You see, even the physical heavens will be destroyed, so that it tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So let us, brothers and sisters, once and for all, not fall into the error of thinking of heaven in material terms, because it just shows how carnal we are. 在彼得后书第三章第十二跟十三节那里跟我们讲，天呢要完全被火所烧掉。哎，你说不得了，那我在上天呢，要连我都烧掉了。不要紧，不怕，因为那里所讲的天不是属灵的天，乃是物质的天。好让我们清清楚楚楚楚的知道，在圣经里面让我们知道，天不是物质的天，我们所要领受的天不是物质的天，乃是属灵的天。Now this teaching is made even more clear for us in the Lord's teaching in John chapter 4 verses 21, 23, 24. In his discussion with the Samaritan woman, you remember the Samaritan woman was saying, well, you see, we worship God in this mountain and you worship God in that mountain. And Jesus says, we are not going to worship God in any one place. We are going to worship God in spirit and truth. What is Jesus teaching the Samaritan woman? You see, her thinking, like so many Christians, is thinking of God in semi-physical terms. That you can locate God in this place, we worship God in this place, and that is the holy place. Today when you go to Israel, you'll still see many holy places. This place is holy, that place is holy. I was shown, when I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, I was shown a place which I was told was the upper room, where the Lord Jesus broke bread with his disciples. Well, I'm no great architect, but I think I know enough about buildings to be able to tell that that building was nowhere near 2,000 years old. I would have been surprised if it were anywhere near 500 years old. But that is what tourists are being told all the time. You see, this is the room where Jesus broke bread, and this was the place where Jesus lived, and so on and so forth. And so these places become holy. God's presence is somehow thought to be there. Now we must understand, that is why the woman said, now we worship God in this mountain, and you worship God in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, not so. I tell you, The day is coming that we shall neither worship God in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. We shall worship God in no particular place. We are going to understand that God is spiritual, for God is spirit. And we are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God seeks people to worship Him in this way. This shows that prayer is worship. And if you want to bring acceptable worship, you must worship Him spiritually, in spirit and in truth. If your worship is not spiritual, it will not be acceptable. It becomes superstition. Superstition is belief that is tied up in a confused manner with erroneous and materialistic notions. The scripture doesn't want us to be mixed up with superstition. And so, take for example, objects begin to get a special holiness about them. We are told that you can wear a special charm around you. Now that is characteristic of superstition, localizing spiritual power into a material object and alleging that there is spiritual power in this material object. So that if you wear this charm around you, nothing will hurt you and the like. Now that is characteristic of superstition. And when one starts localizing it also, that this place is more holy than another place, either if we mean it spiritually, in a spiritual way, that this is holy to me, not the place is holy, it's holy to me because I have met with God in this place, that is a different meaning. That means it brings back memories to me. But once we say that the place itself is holy, then we become superstitious. And so now we find that we must understand the Word of God very accurately. I'm not saying, of course, that God's presence does not appear in some particular place. When God truly appears in a particular place, which He does, then that place is holy because of His presence. But once His presence is gone, it is no more holy, of course. It is holy only in the moment that He is there. That is why the temple was regarded as holy, and rightly so, because God's presence was there. But now the mountain of Zion, Mount Zion is no more holy than any other place, because God's presence is no more there. So we must not go on thinking in these superstitious ways. And because, as we have seen, all superstition is marked by the fact that the material and the spiritual is confused. And so much confusion there is in the minds and the thinking of Christians. And that hinders our worship. To worship God in spirit and in truth, we are enslaved by superstition. 我们祷告的时候，必须要清楚到，天也不是一个物质的东西，因为上帝也不是物质的。上帝在约翰福音第四章第二十一节、第二十三节、二十四节里面跟我讲，主耶稣说上帝是灵。 要崇拜他的，必须要带从灵里面来崇拜他，不是说在这个地方、在那个地方来崇拜他。地方不重要，态度重要，灵重要，物质不重要。这是圣经里面的教训。那么迷信的特点是什么呢？迷信的特点就是把神圣的东西呢，好像看在某一个物质的东西里面。 比如说你买一个什么小小的一块宝石，你觉得穿在头颈上能够保护你，因为这个好像这个宝石里面有什么特别的属灵的能力在里面，这个就是迷信。为什么迷信？迷字一直就错了，信错了。怎么样信错了？就是把属灵的东西跟物质的东西呢混在一起，没有分清楚。哪里有个石头有什么属灵的能力？ 物质没有属灵的能力，怎么样也没有属灵的能力，你不需要怕任何的物质，因为物质没有属灵的能力。所以我们必须要搞清楚，我们为什么如果这方面不清楚的时候，我们对神的崇拜就发生障碍，我们就沦在沉在迷信里面去了，这样我们对上帝的崇拜就不出于灵里面的崇拜。 我们就想是这个地方崇拜，或者那个地方来崇拜。我们到教堂里面来崇拜主，不是因为上教堂比别的地方圣洁一点，乃是因为我们聚集在这里，是上帝有一个特别的这个降临在我们的当中。 这个地方才成为圣灵，但这个圣洁，但是上帝离开这个地方以后，那么地方本身一点圣洁都没有，不过是那么一些石头，不是一些油漆，不是一些一些这个一座房子而已。我们必须要看清楚，除非上帝在我们当中，没有任何东西是圣洁的。Now, once we understand these things, we begin to see that Jesus is not introducing us to a new place of worship, as he was saying to the Samaritan woman, but to a new type of worship. This we must clearly understand. And this type of worship is one in which we enter spiritually into fellowship and worship with God. Now, there is another danger, and we must tackle the other aspect. And that is the notion that if heaven...is up there, as we saw the error of it, then God is far away. But when we realize that heaven is a spiritual state of existence, immediately everything changes about our understanding of God. What changes? We realize that heaven is not far away. Heaven, being spiritual, can be coextensive with the material world. And that means it is very near. For example,We have a spirit and we have a body. But the spirit is coextensive with the body. I cannot measure the size of my spirit. I may be such and such a height, but that is not the length and breadth of my spirit. But the spirit is coextensive because it is not material. Material cannot be coextensive with each other in the same way. But now we can realize that we don't have to think of heaven as being far off.The Bible doesn't teach us that at all. The Bible tells us that heaven is near at hand. And so because we find otherwise, we have again a conflict of understanding. What conflict? We are told on the one hand that God is far away, and the next hand we are told that God is very near. And we are utterly confused. How can God be far and he's near? First you tell me he's 4,500 years of travel away. And now you tell me that God is here. And so we have a contradictory statement again, which theologians like to call paradox. Very interesting word, paradox. Everything that is contradictory or conflicting is described as paradox.When in fact, of course, this is a travesty of the word paradox. And so we find, for example, that Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, that in God we live and move and have our being. Now, how can God be far away and still be near? How are we going to reconcile all this? And it's covered by the statement that God is omnipresent.And it's further covered by these two aspects that God is transcendent and that he is immanent. Now these words may mean absolutely nothing to you, but transcendent is the aspect which says that God is far and away and beyond, and immanent means that God is near. So God is both far and near. And that means that God is omnipresent. Now, scripturally speaking, God is certainly omnipresent. And God is certainly in every place, no matter how vast the universe is. But we are talking about heaven.And we must understand that scripture does not locate heaven in any particular direction. And so we realize that once we realize this, that heaven being spiritual is coextensive and can be easily coextensive with the physical universe, then we realize that God is always near. It is just a different mode of existence.Just as my body and my spirit are coextensive. That means to say, if I could pass beyond the physical at this stage right away, I'd find that right this moment, I'd be in heaven. I'd have to travel no distance at all. Do you realize that? Do you see the scriptural teaching? That God is right here all the time. That heaven is just the other side of the physical existence. And you see what difference that will make to your whole spiritual life?That you are not traveling vast different distances. That God is right close. That when I whisper, he hears me right away.